Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio. I've opened today up for all callers interested in calling in to talk about any issue at all, to please do so. I want to start off with something that happened over the 4th of July weekend in Massachusetts. Somehow, the white supremacists got into Massachusetts, and they attacked a black man. Now, if that was a black man or black group that attacked a white man, those people would have been caught by now. They said there was approximately 100 white supremacists, and the law enforcement, they don't know how they got in, but they said they acted as soon as they found out. They acted, but these men are still walking free. We're living in a society today where they block off the borders to Mexico, Central America, one of the Americas out of the three, Central, South, and North. They block off the borders to the Americas, but yet this country is infested with people from other countries that are coming here or in here, domestic terrorists, to destroy the country and destroy the people in it. We understand the prisons are full. We understand we have mass incarceration in this country, in this country, the United States, the only country in the world with mass incarceration. And we know the majority are of color. This is just a prime example of what's going on. And why is it so important that these people want this gun? They don't want this gun control. They want these young people to have access to assault weapons. Who are the parents? Who are the relatives of these people that they're trying so desperately to get weapons into their hands, especially assault weapons? There's some sick people out there because of their hatred for pigmentation that are teaching their kids hatred. Instead of teaching their kids love, instead of teaching their kids to do the right thing, they teach them hatred. And that's why we have so many of color behind those prison walls. Because their minds have been messed up. Their souls, they have no hope because of what the white man has caused. You know, I got upset with the Native Indians because they had so much to say about the white man. But they too have been slaughtered throughout the years. Why is it so easy for people of Caucasian, of the white pigmentation, to get away with so much when the blacks, the Hispanics, the Asians, the Indians, the Browns, the Arabs, why is it so desperately important for all of them, all of us, to be going through this when we're living in a country that's supposed to be united? What is in the minds of these racist pigs? And that's just what they are. And then when law enforcement can get to a black man, a beige, a brown, a red that quickly, why can't they get to these people who are coming into these areas uninvited to do so much damage? That's my take on what's happening right now with this racism in this country and the mass incarceration. That's what my thoughts are. And you know something? I was never raised to have this kind of anger in me. I was raised by two people who raised us to love one another, to believe in God, to love others, to have compassion for others, not to make fun of others, to respect others, to call them Miss and Mrs. and Mr., to be godly. But we have people in this country that have forgotten there is a God. They have forgotten the way they were brought in. They forgot the perfection that we were brought into that has been so quickly destroyed throughout the years. We have mail coming in, garbage mail that gets thrown in the trash all the time. And they're wasting all these trees, sending out paperwork we don't need. And then they talk about global warming. They talk about there's no racism in this country when they turn their heads, when the ones that are being affected, the people of color. But let it be in the white man's family. Let it be in the white man's family. And let them see what it's all about. But the thing is, you don't see people of color. So so anxious to kill a white man as the white man has been to kill the blacks, brown, beige, and red. And I want to tell you people, the blacks know about their white heritage that they were born into because of slavery time. Irish, Wales, English, Italian, they know. But none of you know, or apparently a lot of you don't know, that you're killing your brothers and sisters because it was your ancestors that impregnated the ancestors of these people of color. It started off with them trying to destroy only the people of color. But through those rapes and through the love that some of them may have fallen in love with some of the mothers, the ancestors, you're killing your own relatives. That's why you have so many people of color with the last name McDaniels, or you have so many people of color with the last name of O'Hara or Kelly or McKinley. And I can go on and on and on. People think about the names of individuals. They don't look at the person themselves. There are people out there with Spanish names that don't even have any Spanish blood in them. There are people out there with all these names that you might think of. If you don't see that person, you're assuming that they might be white or they might be completely black. That's the ignorance that we have in this country. People are killing. And yet, if you see even a black person that looks white, and you know something, there was a time when a skinhead was destroying a Jewish cemetery. He was a skinhead. It turned out that that man was pot black. And the people that brought him into their group or organization didn't even know. That's the mentality of the people that are killing out there, that are drawing in, that are recruiting people to work with them against the people of color. He was black. He was ashamed of his own race. So here he is joining forces with the white man that hates his race to try to let them think that he's in with them. The Holocaust, all those Jewish people that were executed, all of those by Hitler, many of them are racist themselves now. And unfortunately, we do have blacks and people of color in high positions right now. And because their peers smile in their face, they don't realize they're smiling in their face, but they're not really there for them. But that's how they divide and conquer. What happened in Massachusetts this past week, and also I want to say again with the guns, there was a lot of shootings in Massachusetts. Young people. There were mass shootings in Illinois. There were shootings all over the country. There's been shootings in Texas. But yet we have people that are complaining and throwing people in prison for shooting when the people that are throwing them in prison are bent on having weapons and assault weapons and are bent on not wanting to see this reform. And even though there was a bipartisan decision, as I said yesterday, for this gun control, it's not enough. It's not enough. They talk about other countries. I'm sorry, but this country is a piece of crap. This country has gone so far down, they can never get back to where they used to be. Not until they come up with a bipartisan decision to ban weapons completely. And look at that young man, 25 years old, with these police officers, and I don't even call them police officers. We were taught to respect police officers growing up, but that's when they were police officers, not cops, not corrupt cops. 60 bullets in a 25-year-old body, a small person's body, 60 over a traffic stop. And how easy it is for these law enforcement to plant weapons in a car to justify the dirt, the damage, the barbaric acts that they do. I said yesterday there are some good COs, correctional officers. There are some police officers that are good, and there are some prison officials. But as long as they keep their mouths shut and they don't expose their peers, as somebody said years ago, they're just as bad. We are all in a brotherhood. I hear about the police, law enforcement brotherhood. I hear about the corrections brotherhood. I hear about, even as a social worker, we had our own brotherhood with social workers. Everybody has a brotherhood. But the one brotherhood they forget is the brotherhood that was born into this world by the Most High to be united in a perfect world, to be loving and compassionate, to be merciful, forgiving, to be understanding, to help out, not harm. It's disgusting, and I don't know, if you, listening in the audience, if you hear what I'm saying and you agree, call in and talk about it. But if you don't agree, then I guess you have no problem with what's going on in this country. And that's the sad thing about it. This was the last continent to come into this world. It was the last one. And the sad thing about it is that we were the ones that were blessed. This country was the one that was blessed the most, because it was not only united, but we had so much wealth. And do you think that we even ever thought to share it, to send some of those planes that were going over with so much room, going over to other countries to share some of our blessings with them? You see on television all these babies that are starving, their ribs showing. These babies are starving, and here we have all of it. We have everything. We have the food. We have the drinks. We have the spiritual and physical food and drink. And even if we see the homeless out there, we know that we can help in some way or another to feed them, to put them in these homeless shelters. What do these families have abroad in countries like the Middle East and Africa, even in South America and Central America? They have very little. And here right now, and I understand Ukraine's going through some changes with Russia. I understand there's a war going on between them. But I also understand there's a united country organization called NATO, N-A-T-O. So why aren't all of them helping? Why does it have to be one president of one country trying to be the big shot? Why? I want you to think about that. I want you to think about it. Think about what is going on. Think about your feelings towards it. Think about if you want to be part of a change or part of the problem. Because that's what's happening right now. People are complaining, but no one's doing anything. This country, Massachusetts, is primarily Irish. It was built on McKinley and Quincy and all these people of the Irish descent. I just hope and pray that everyone will think about these things, that everybody will start calling in. I don't care if you're calling in to complain, because unlike many, I can take criticism from any race, and I can be there for any race. I don't distinguish between colors. I want you to think about what I'm saying. Now, I'd like to know if everyone had a chance to think about what I said. You had an opportunity to meditate on those things that I said. And I'd be thankful if you'd call in to find out or to let me know what your thoughts are on it. There's so much going on in this world, again, and this is what we have. Yesterday we had a couple of inmates, individuals. I'm not going to call them inmates because that, to me, is disrespectful and inappropriate. Incarcerated individuals call in. They talked about their feelings. They talked about how one said He went in when he was 16 years old. I remember as a social worker years ago, they didn't only have the Department of Social Services for families and individuals and adolescents, but they also had what was called the Department of Youth Services, where anyone under the age of 18, or maybe it was 21, I don't remember, was able to go in to a juvenile center, not a prison, but a juvenile center. Now, they put them in adult prisons. There have been people, and there are people incarcerated who have been in for 50 and 60 years. They went in when they were between the ages of 16 and 25. Still in school or college. Some very vulnerable. Because those students, those people that are in school, these young people who are trying so hard to graduate, just trying to graduate, whether it be from high school or college, you know that their mindset is on productivity, trying to achieve. And yet, they're not even considered when going to court. And this is why I say the courts need to be revamped. The courts need to be overhauled. It needs to be overseen. Just like the incarceration, the prisons need to have some independent oversight. All the oversight is being done by internal, by people who work for the same system that's doing all the corruption, that's doing all the abuses and deprivations and provocations and violations. Hospitals need to get involved. American Psychological and Psychiatric Association needs to get involved. Social services need to get involved. Department of Mental Health needs to get involved. NAMI, National Alliance for the Mentally Ill, needs to get involved. The universities, they have all these students trying to do their internships in law and criminal justice and psychology and social work. Why not use them? A lot of them are crying out to do something, to do their internships, to gain the experience. I have volunteers working with us in my organization to help the first-time offenders of any offense, to help them and those who are having their civil rights violated. Heck, we can't even get a lawyer to help some of these individuals whose civil rights are being violated because a lot of these lawyers are siding with other people, taking sides between other lawyers, their peers, and the clients that are crying out for help. And these lawyers that are connected with maybe a victim or a victim's family, targeting individuals. What kind of barbaric individuals do we have here? Many of these prisoners serving life and life without parole, and even many that have been put on death row, many that have been executed, first-time offenders or wrongfully convicted. But whatever the case may be, it's the mentality of those that are making these decisions to put these people in prison or to put them to death. And then we listen to these pro-lifers, anti-abortion. They don't even want to allow the women to have contraceptives to even prevent the pregnancies. They're so quick to talk about and protest for pro-life, and yet when these children, many who grew up without fathers, or even sometimes siblings, when they fall, when they do something wrong, those pro-lifers, where are you then? Are you part of the system that wants to put them to death or put them in prison for life and life without parole? Pro-lifers? I am against abortions, but I'll tell you one thing. If I'm going to be against abortions and these women have these babies, I'm going to help them as much as I can. And if their children fall That's what my organization and the organizations of others advocating for the incarcerated men, women, and youth are all about. The very people that are staying out of it, that are remaining neutral when it comes to a woman's decision to have or not have a baby, we are the ones that are there for them. So for pro-lifers who are so high and mighty that want to interfere, and what does the scripture say in the Bible? So many scriptures said, do not judge. Judge not, for ye will be judged. We all have to go before our maker. We all have to account for what we did or did not do. And God, our Most High, Jehovah Jireh, and the Christ Jesus, they will make the decisions. Our higher powers, spiritually, will make the decisions when we go before them. We have no right telling others how to run their lives. But yet, we cry out for pro-life. And then when those people stumble, all of a sudden you forget about pro-life and want the worst for them. I don't know what to tell many of you. I do know one thing. As I just got through saying, we all have to go before our maker. And many don't believe in God. And many say they believe, but they don't. They don't think it's going to happen. They don't think that they're ever going to go before the Most High and have to answer any questions. Everybody thinks they're going to go straight to heaven. And some think they're going to go straight to the perfect paradise. A lot of people think because of their religion is the only religion that's going to go to heaven or earthly paradise. But I have news for you. God didn't make religion. He made people. He created people. Man, people, they created religions. And their religion's not the right. None of them are the right, but none of them are the wrong either, because every religion has a little good in it. But it's not about the religion. It's about the individuals. So you can be in any religion you want. If you don't have the heart of God, if you don't have that compassion, that mercy, understanding, forgiveness, if you don't have that will to help those incarcerated or those being attacked by barbarians of a Caucasian race that hates people of color. If you don't have any of that, you don't have nothing. You don't have nothing but something to look forward to when you go before your maker. And I'm going to say again for you that know how to read the Bible, if you go to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians, next to Thessalonians and I forgot the others. But if you go to Ephesians, you will see that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We are wrestling against darkness, powers and principalities, rulers in dark places and high places in this world. Now, who are the high rulers in this world? We got our presidents, we got our legislative members, we got all these people in the courts, we have all these people controlling the lives of everybody. And they're not supposed to be prejudiced. They're supposed to be neutral. And it all came from the book of Samuel. When Samuel was dying and his son, he had two sons, and one of his sons was supposed to take over. And what did the son do? But he listened to his young peers and did just the opposite of everything his father did, which caused so many problems. But the judges in this world today, especially in this country, the prosecutors, they're all corrupt. They tamper with evidence. They bring in lying fools. There was one case where an individual was going to court, a first-time offender. The prosecutor got in his mindset, this is how sick it is. Let's get the people that are going to speak highly of this individual. Let's get them on and let's subpoena them in so the defense can't call them in and use them. And then at the very last minute, because they knew these people were going to speak highly of the defendant, they changed their mind. They told them they didn't need him at the very last minute, too late for the defense attorney to bring him in. And then they bring in this woman who says he tried to separate her from her friends and family. I know so many women who have been in situations like that. I have. In 1972, I was like that. But that was not the case at all with this woman. It was just the opposite. But this is how they reverse situations. They reverse situations when somebody is being stumbled. And I know it happens to a lot of women, but I want everybody to know it also happens to men. Because as I said before, you have these high school, you have these college students who are really serious about going to school to become somebody, to achieve. And their heads and minds are in the books. Some have gotten in relationships involving women who just want to party. They're not in college. They just want to party. Somehow, these individuals became their prey. Use them, lie to them, deceive them, get their money, whatever money they can, we can get from them. Get their minds off the books. One even spent so much time at the dormitory that this individual in his last year of college didn't make it because he fell behind one subject, only to learn not long after that this woman had deceived him, was cheating on him all the time, spending her time at the dorm causing him to fall behind. He opened up to her about everything that happened to him as a child, traumatic things that happened, only to find out he was being deceived. And I know this happens with a lot of young women too. It happens with a lot of, it doesn't mean that everybody is in that same situation, but there are vulnerable men and women who get used, lied to, and deceived. We're living in a racist country where sometimes people will do these things just out of hatred to pretend that they are interested in somebody, to get some kind of response, and take that response and run with it. Because you got a response from somebody that doesn't know, that hasn't been there before. And that's why there's so many people out in the world today that are failing, that are falling. That's why we have mass incarceration. But I'm going to go back to these shootings. And I'm going to go back to these racist people, these groups. When they had the Capitol insurrection, and those police officers ended up being harmed, and some even committed suicide after because they could not cope with what happened. We had our own troops at one time that had been overseas, supposedly fighting for this country, tearing the Capitol apart. How much fighting over there did they do? I know a lot of them killed a lot of the so-called enemies, which I don't know how they could be enemies when there's no way they could even touch the United States from where they are. But they came back here and they used their same hatred in this country against the people of color in the United States of America. And what is the government doing about it? I mean, they've been having this January 6th meeting all this time. They've been talking about all this stuff. What have they actually done? This has been going on for some time. If that were a citizen, any other citizens in the country, by now this whole thing would have been over. They would have been sentenced to prison to serve their time. It wouldn't be a back and forth. Do you think we should do this? Do you think we should do that? Just because someone is in power, just because someone has a title, does not give them the right to have to even be considered as to whether or not they're going to get indicted, sentenced, and sent to prison. It doesn't give them a right. Human beings are human beings. Individuals are individuals. You commit a crime, you go to prison. Where's the equality of all of this? There is no equality because the people making the decisions are in the same level as the people that they're right now they're bringing to this January 6th meeting. So I guess if they make the right decisions to send these people to prison, then that means that someday if they do wrong, they might go to prison. That's probably why they're not doing anything as of yet. Something needs to be done. This country has fallen so far below. This country is now a farce to every other country in the world, a joke, a big joke. There's no respect there. And all our leaders, the leaders all over the world, with our leaders here in this country, they might be shown shaking hands, but in the back of their minds, I can imagine what they're saying about the person and the people that they're shaking hands with. They're probably going back to their own people after the media's gone and laughing about us. But then again, everybody in this country is supposed to be so brilliant, so bright, so educated, so experienced. And I love it when they bring people on their show and on Fox and CNN and MSNBC and NBC and CBS and all these. They bring these people on the show and they call them experts. Thank you for your expertise. Expertise. What have they done to know what in the heck is going on? Expertise where? Because they had a piece of paper? Because they went to school, they went to college or universities and they got a piece of paper? Big deal. What does a piece of paper do when you don't even know how to deal with the American people who are going through so much? You know who the expertise are? The expertise are the alcoholics, the prisoners, the druggies. Those are the experts, those who have done it and overcame and are now out in the communities trying to do the right thing with the right, wrong people, trying to help them. Those are the experts. Don't talk about the experts that you put on your media shows. Experts. It's a joke. This government is a joke. They're like kids in adult clothing and adult body. But you know that temple is holding one of two in it. Our temples are either holding in the Holy Spirit or the evil spirit. Again, Ephesians chapter 6. We are not fighting or wrestling against flesh and blood. We are wrestling against darkness, principalities, rulers of darkness in high places in the world. We can't serve two masters. So those who are sitting back doing nothing, staying quiet, and those who are siding with the ones they know are doing the wrong thing, think about what spirit is within you. And those who are struggling to survive, or struggling to help others, struggling to make the right wrongs right, because there's so much wrong in this world, in this country today, that something has to happen to make it right. How many of you are actually afraid to speak out? How many of you are actually afraid of your peers, that you don't want to make them upset with you? That you want them always to look at you as being a part of them. Are they doing the right thing? If you're a part of them and they're doing the right thing, then okay. But if you're a part of them and they're talking about different races, they're biased, or they're hateful, or they're liars, or they're corrupt, or they're deceptive, if you want to be a part of that, be my guest. Because someday you're going to find out you made the wrong decision. Again, we're going to be going up against a higher power than any power, the highest. And we can see it happening now all around us. You know, it warns us in the Bible exactly what's to come. It warns us, it tells us how to look for the day of destruction, total destruction. It tells us about the weather. It tells us about the hearts of many growing cold. It talks about the proud, the boastful, the wealthy, the corrupt, the deceptive, the liars. It talks about it all. It talks about the hearts of many will grow cold, and many hearts have grown cold, because we know there are people incarcerated. We know that there are people in the streets that are being abused severely, tormented, tortured. But unless it happens to you and your family, many of you have done nothing. And I want to say something else about people who have loved ones inside. If you can turn your back on your own loved one who was incarcerated, then you were the problem in the beginning as well. Because a lot of people ended up in prison. They didn't have that support from their families. They didn't have that support from their loved ones. And there are groups I belong to on Facebook that I see mothers of prisoners and parents of prisoners, you know, Christian mothers of prisoners, moms of prisoners. You know, it's sad because I see a lot of times they're complaining about their loved one. Not all of them, but some of them are complaining. You know, he's better off in prison because he's not doing drugs. Again, I'm going to bring up the fact that there's drugs being brought into the prisons. By who? Staff. For what? Sales. Money. And parents don't understand that their loved one should be in a long-term residential treatment facility rather than a prison. Because in a long-term treatment facility, they're going to get the treatment to end their drug problems. The mentally ill, they're going to be in a long-term residential treatment facility to work on, to treat their mental illnesses, the psychological issues, their traumas that they've had as children, as adolescents. They're going to get the treatment by professionals, highly educated professionals, not people that are contracted with the DOC around the country. They get their contracts, and a lot of them are not qualified to do a lot of things, including surgery. But these mothers, they're glad because their sons are in prison or their daughters are in prison because they're not able to get the drugs. Wake up. For parents who have loved ones inside, they don't need to just be chatting back and forth on Facebook. They need to be doing research. Research into the criminal justice system. Research into the penal system. Because you're going to find, you know, on the news yesterday, and it was on the news last week, former correctional officer. He's quite old now, but he killed an 11-year-old 20-something or 30-something years ago. DNA is what finally got him arrested. 11 years old, you know why he did it. And they found the little girl by a railroad track or on a track, her remains. Correctional officer, former correctional officer. But everybody thinks, oh, they can do it because they're in uniform or they have titles. I'm surprised the media is reporting this because the media is so one-sided. It's always about law enforcement and prison staff. It's all the good that they do, but they don't report the bad. The only time it gets reported is when it's so, so bad, the nation and sometimes the world is watching. Like what happened with the George Floyd case. Had that not become a national or international news, he probably would never have gotten, what did he get? I think it was 20 years. Look at everybody else serving a life or life without parole, and those on death row for doing something less serious. Firing one shot in the head is killing someone almost instantly. Putting your knees on someone's neck as he did for all that time, that's barbaric. And you could see the hatred in his eyes as he was doing it. Again, I feel bad for a lot of these people that have that hatred in them, that have that racism in them, because they grew up not being loved by their parents, but by being influenced and taught to hate. And when you see the hatred in somebody's face, it's not pretty. I can tell looking in somebody's eyes and face, the anger, the hatred, they can't get enough. They can't get enough hatred out of them. They can't do enough vengeance. And you know, the sad thing about it, they showed a picture of Emmett Till on the news the other day. I had studied up on him a while back too. He was only 14 years old. He was from Chicago and went down to Mississippi. All he did when he was there was watch these two white men playing cards. And he whistled because one of those white men won the card game. And the wife of one of those people ended up making it about her. And sometime in the early morning, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, there was a caravan of trucks and cars that went to the home of Emmett Till's relatives. They searched him out. They took him out. They put him in the back of the truck. They took him to this barn or farm or whatever it was. You know, that was a sad situation because they showed a picture, the mother of that young man, before she died, when it first happened. She said she wanted the casket to be open so everyone could see what they did to her little boy. If you go on the internet and you type in Emmett Till, E-M-M-E-T-T, Till, T-I-L-L, and you look at his face, you look at his body. After they did everything that they did to him, they tied a tractor engine or something around his neck and they put him in the lake upside down. I don't know of any human being that could do something that vicious, except those who are out there with that hatred in them that they were raised to have by their racist parents, their barbaric parents, to hate somebody that much that they could do something like that to a child. Even to an adult, it's bad enough, but to do something like that to a child is sick. It's beyond sick. And if I didn't know for sure that there was a God out there, that there was a creator, a father, a master, a redeemer, most high, most holy one, miraculous worker. If I didn't believe in that, I would say it was all done in vain. But I know one thing, their vain is going to be going before the highest power, the most high, and they're going to be rewarded accordingly. Now, there's one person I believe that's remaining of all of that clan from back then. And there's been recent news about the family of Emmett Till wanting to have justice done with that last person. And I hope so, because no one was ever held accountable for the brutal, brutal slaying and beating of Emmett Till. So with all that in mind, let's go back to what's happening right now with our young, middle-aged, and elderly people of color. You know, it's ironic because the hatred is so strong that on the news they were saying that the mayor of Boston, who is Asian, Michelle Wu, is the first woman of color to become a mayor. And the ironic thing is, Chinese, they don't have color in them. They're white, but they're Asian. So their culture is not white, but they're Asian. This is a ridiculous thing, because there are whites, there are Caucasian people that are even darker than the people of color. Like the Lebanese, they have a dark side of the Lebanese and they have a white side of the Lebanese. They have the north side of Lebanon, south side of Lebanon. The Italians, they have Sicily, Sicily of the dock Italian, and then they have the white Italian. So how can these very people talk about color when they have it in their families? Just like the African Americans. You have African Americans who actually look white, and then you have African Americans who are dark. You have brown, beige, white. There are Indians. Sometimes you can't tell Indians from China, people from Asia, because there's a lot of similarities in the features and the pigmentation. People need to start looking and researching and reading up on these different cultures. That's why they have genograms. Genealogies tell you exactly your history, where you came from, your relatives all around the world. So I'm sure if you take and go on genealogy, you're going to find there's going to be relatives that you have that if you met them, they probably would be of color. They could be black, brown, beige, red, you don't know. Because your ancestors were part of creating your relatives. I had a friend, she's from Cape Cod. I'll just say her first name is Pam. I went with her one time to Virginia. She took me with her to meet her relatives. She was going there to visit them. And what I found out, it was so unique. It was different. It was scary too, though. But there were two families. And both families, both sides, were by the slave master. One was completely white. The other one was half and half. And they looked white. Some of them looked beige. Some of them looked brown. But it was so strange, because I'm looking at them and I'm saying, how in the world can these people, how can they hate their relatives when their relatives are part of them? They didn't ask to be part of them, but they came out to be part of them. And in Virginia, the area that we were at, I stayed at my girlfriend's family's camper, a mobile home, while they visited. And that night, she was only going to visit them for a few hours and then come back to the mobile home, and then we'd go to the home the next day. But I was tired, so I didn't want to go. I was scared the whole night because it was so spooky in this Virginia area. And it was so spooky, it felt like it was back in those days of slavery or whatever. But then with everything going on today, I think about it. And I said, you know what, I think I had reason to be. Because we're going backwards. All the hard work Martin Luther King did to bring everyone this far seems to be going backwards. And Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam, that's why I believe that they were so assertive in the way they did things, aggressive. Because when you try to be too lenient, nothing positive happens. And when it gets to this point, where all of these things are happening and no one's provoking the Caucasian race, the white supremacists, the Klan or whatever, no one's provoking them to do this. It may be necessary at some point in time, and I'm sure it's going to happen, that there's going to be a civil war in this country, because that is what's being provoked. That's what's being promoted, not by the people of color. And I just want to bring this out because we just went through a holiday, the 4th of July, Independence Day, when all of this has taken place, which goes to show that there are many whites still not satisfied with the independence of people of color. Again, we are living in the United States of America with representatives from every single country in the world. Country that we're living in, and we should be very proud of, is a country that's most racist, most damaging to not only its citizens of the United States, but also to those of the whole wide world. We are being watched intensively, extensively, by every country in the world. We are being watched. And the people in this country who have relatives in other countries, I'm sure when they talk to their loved ones on the phone, or they visit their loved ones, I'm sure they're talking about this country and how it is not united at all. So for you people that are proud of the United States of America, that's your bad. I can only be proud of countries that I know are united, even though they're not called United States or countries. They're more united than we are. So I take my hat off to all of you countries out there, people who hear it, let your relatives in other countries know. I take my hat off to all of you because you deserve to be commended for the lack of hatred towards one another in your countries. We see it, but we don't see it this as extensive as we see it here in the United States of America. So I want to thank all of you for listening in. And again, I hope that some of you will get the courage or the motivation to call in sometime and really talk about your thoughts on these things. I hope no one's going to be hiding behind the doors because they don't want to let people know their true feelings. The only one that we have to please is our Creator. That's the only one. And so far, we've done a terrible job in doing that. So I want to thank everyone for listening in. And I hope that time I gave you to meditate on what I was saying will sink in and that you will try to do more for those who have stumbled behind those prison walls, in the communities, in their own homes, in the hospitals, the nursing homes, the homeless shelters, the streets. Just do it. Do something good. If you can do one good thing each day, put it down, write it down. If you can do one good thing each day to say, I did something godly today, then that's a plus. Do it each day and then come on the show and talk about it. Even if it's just to feed somebody that's elderly in a nursing home. Even if it's just to write a prisoner. Even if it's just to say hi to a stranger on a bus, train. But when you go to church, if you go to church, or when you go to the mosque, or when you go to the synagogue, remember, you're going before a higher power. You're going before the higher power that's looking for his creation to do something positive. And I want to say one more thing before I close. When people think of Allah, Allah is an Arabic word for God. Rabbi is. These are names of the Most High. His Son, the Christ Jesus, gave his life so that we would all have hope for a new beginning, for something perfect. And this system of things is coming to its end. But when we think about these religions, whether it be Muslim, whether it be Jewish, whether it be Christian, we're all talking about the same God. Different name, but same God. And if all of you know from research, God has many, many names. Many names. But it's the same God. The message, to know and love and believe in one God, and to love others the way we want to be loved. So I hope everyone will meditate on that. And on Tuesday, we will be having another day for anyone to call in. Please do. Thank you for for listening in, and I hope that you will try somehow to do something positive. Thank you.